Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
Michael and I have decided we're going to use accents today. We're at the top of our game here.
Yes.
On the Talk Radio Countdown Show, the official overview. I can't last without you. Got to be myself, Michael. I don't think I'd... That's probably why I wouldn't make a good actor, because I don't do voices. I've always never... Whenever I've tried to act, was always get spun out of control because I'm a talk guy and I'm used to ad-libbing everything. And the director says, cut!
I was in theater as a kid back in high school and college, and looking back at it, I was such a ham.
Oh, of course.
I would occasionally change the lines without the director knowing it.
Mm-hmm.
And if the audience liked it, usually it was comedy, they'd leave it in. If not, I would be chastised. But acting requires a tremendous amount of, shall we say, lack of inhibition.
Yes.
That's
Am I
right?
A very good way of, that's a good way of putting it. Yes.
Know,
yes.
You know, cry on a dime, you know.
Well, that's being a good actor. Yeah. Well, the different types of acting, the Stanislavski method, there are lots of ways that people prepare to be actors and actresses.
Mm.
And there are a few that have gotten it that didn't have any training. But yeah, it's work. Yeah, a lot of people think.
Right, but it's interesting you say, you know, trying to speak your truth, you know, to have a voice that's yours. In a way, psychologically, everybody is acting. It's just which act you're used to and which act you're not.
Ah.
The word person is derived from the word. It means mask, and. As a person, you go through life with your personal mask, and you play a role in the game and the play known as society. It's so heavy.
Let's get to the stories now that we've got everybody really tuned in on what's going on.
Really bored. Everybody's untuned.
Here we are. Let's tune in and turn on, as we used to say.
Let me find my charts here.
Okay. Charts for the week of January 24th to the 28th, according to the work done, the research by folks at Talkers Magazine. You can find these lists at talkers.com and also at djvshow.com. So here we go, Michael.
Yes, number 10, winter weather. The weather outside is frightful.
Frightful.
But the fire is quite delightful.
So delightful, yes.
And climate change is part of number 10. Number 9, the National Football League playoffs. There you go. You miss, you know, sports being in the top 10. It's number 9.
Yeah.
And at number 8, big tech social media bias. And that's tied with another subject that's related to that, Neil Young's Spotify flap.
That's the funniest thing. Either me or him. Well, we'll take him. Thanks. See you later.
Mm-hmm. Number 7, the Florida Surgeon General testimony, and that's tied with Donald Trump and his relationship with the grand old party. Mm-hmm. At number 6, we have race relations tied with voter rights. At number 8, and or rather number 5, January 6th investigation tied with the 2022 midterm elections. At number 4, another tie, the economy, and that's tied with crime and violence, which has impacted the economy. And number 3, Justice Stephen Breyer announces retirement. That's a giant boulder that was thrown into the hardly tranquil pond of the national conversation.
Ooh, that's very colorful language.
Whoa, well, yeah, this is a theater of the mind.
Yeah.
And at number 2, we have the Russia-Ukraine crisis and U.S.-China relations tied at number 2. Number 1, what do you think? COVID-19, vaccines, masks, and mandates.
Casey Kasem used to say, and back to number 1. It was number 3 last week, but it's back at number 1 this week on the countdown, the COVID.
That didn't happen often, but occasionally songs
no.
did come back.
Yeah, know? Right, exactly. I drove across the country this past week, and I drove halfway across the country and then
you're
back
an
again.
Iron Man.
And I was listening to, they have on Sirius, the 70s channel on Sirius, they have the old Casey Kasem, and a lot of stations are using it now, too, bringing back the countdown, the American Top 40 countdown with Casey from the 70s. And you know what? It sounds just as fresh, just as relevant. Listening to him isn't like return with us now to the swimming days of history. It was just kind of fit. It was neat to hear
it's
that.
It's good stuff. And, yeah, no doubt
yeah, it
about
is.
It.
Yeah.
And number 10 on the People Survey, we have Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
And he's a football player and an occasional Jeopardy host and a character. At number 9, Neil Young and Joe Rogan. They're a couple of old characters.
Yep.
At number 8, Joseph Latipo. He's a character. At number 6, Joe Manchin and Kirsten Sinema. They're characters. Donald Trump, he's a normal guy. He's at number 6. Jerome Powell's at 5. Kamala Harris is at 4. Stephen Breyer, the aforementioned Supreme Court Justice, at number 3. Vladimir Putin is 2. And Jumpin' Joe Biden, he's at number 1.
Jumpin' Joe. He's our president and resident.
He's kept jumping, isn't he?
He is keeping his, he's got his Mexican jumping beans. They're working as best they can. I thought it was hysterical when Neil Young this week, I actually thought about you, as the two of us are former jocks, and we played music during that era when Neil Young first became popular, and he goes to the folks at Spotify and says, look, it's either him or me. So
right, they invested like $90 billion in Joe Rogan.
Yeah, Joe Rogan, right, exactly.
And
people are funny.
Neil Young is a character. You mentioned my music background. Neil Young is a guy that marched to the beat of his own drum all the way back
to when
he was in Crosby, Stills, Nash, and occasionally Young when they could get along.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he's an irascible guy. The only guy he gets along with, apparently, is Willie Nelson. They seem to be good friends. And
there's another guy.
Yeah, right, exactly. All right, and Donald Trump, number 6 on the people list. This is all of this stuff about Trump and the GOP. The most interesting story from the Trump camp this week was him saying that his son Donald Jr., who is his publisher, couldn't find enough glue, paper, or leather to put together his new photo book, which is going to be, according to Trump, very popular, the most popular book probably ever sold. But they can't find enough glue and paper.
It's going to be the biggest book anyone's ever seen.
That's right. The best, the biggest, and the best. Right. Woo. Wow, he's out.
So what's the deal here? That there's the supply chain issue? Is that what we're talking about?
Apparently, that's his son says they can't find enough stuff to put the books together. And I'm going to Mar-a-Lago next week. I'll see if I can find a copy. All right?
And are you really going to Mar-a-Lago?
I am, in fact. Yes.
Hmm. So, they have fantastic shrimp there.
Yes.
And the lobster.
Right.
The
I remember you had dinner there one night. Yeah.
I had dinner there several times. And I'm not saying that to drop names. I consider it to be a thing that gives me great insight into the things I talk about.
Yes, right. I'm with you on that one. And I was invited once last year to go, and I did. Had a nice lunch. Trump came out, wanted to know how my crab meat was. It's like he was the chef. He's actually, if you can put away all of the disastrous stuff that he creates around himself, he's a pretty interesting character. He really is, in the sense that...
except for that one small contingency that you mentioned, if you put away all the disastrous stuff he creates for himself.
Right, yeah.
Other than that, Mrs. Fine. Lincoln, how's the play?
Yeah, right, exactly. Okay, anyway, we're going to get into... I want to talk with you because I know you love to talk about football. And certainly the playoffs being in here, and I don't know if you saw, you have HBO, right? Did you see the interview with Bob Costas did with Al Michaels? If you haven't seen it, it is fabulous. I'm not even a sports fan, but I'm an Al Michaels fan because he's been around about as long as I have and being successful, and he's not stopping. He's 77. He's doing the Super Bowl this year. He's looking forward to next year. He got 4 offers for a new 5-year contract. The guy's, I think he's a fabulous, perfect example of someone who loves something, made a career out of it, did very well. I mean, this guy can broadcast any kind of sports that there is to broadcast. He was a great baseball broadcaster, I thought, when I was a kid. Well, not a kid, but certainly. Don't you think you're
one
great?
One of his great, I like Al Michaels. I think he's a real good broadcaster, an excellent play-by-play
commentator.
And, you know, his famous line from, I believe, the 1980 Olympics, is it that long ago, as the USA hockey team was about to clearly beat the Russians. It was 6 seconds left.
Oh, right. They talked about that.
Do you... Oops, my dinger just went off. Sorry about that. Hey, it's Al Michaels. He's listening. He said, do you believe in miracles? That was... that. Mm-hmm. And that became the Miracle on Ice.
Yeah.
Great
yep.
Moment. One of the things that's great about sports is that it's reality show that's truly reality. Of course, after sports betting becomes entrenched, I don't know how real it'll be anymore, but that's another story. But for now,
they talked about that.
It's a pretty good... Did they?
Yeah.
Good. Then I'll check it out.
They talked about how they used to be told they couldn't mention it as broadcasters, and now because it's legal, everybody's mentioning it. And how difficult it was for Al not to mention it. He was clever about it sometimes, but, you know, he couldn't deliberately talk about what was going on betting. And people would say to him, well, you got money on the team, right? And he said he never bet on a sports team at all any time in his career. So I thought that was pretty interesting. But
can I say something that's crazy? I've never bet on a sports game or a sports team ever in my life.
No, neither have I.
Not even as a kid. No. I just, to me, you know. And I don't mean it for moral purposes. It's just a bad investment.
Yeah, right. It's a bad it's a bad investment most of the time. It's like the lottery getting into that. Anyway, so but if you have, I'd say this to you and to everybody listening. If you haven't seen it and you got HBO, check out Bob Costas is one of the most wonderful interviewers on television. And it's a great conversation. More on the countdown as we continue 17 past the hour.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Now 23 after the hour, this is the Talk Radio Countdown Show for the last week of January 2022. Have you stopped writing 2021 on your checks? I asked that question of the ladies who are on the DJV program with me, Michael, and they said, huh? Who writes checks anymore? Only me.
Yeah.
I guess I'm the last one to write checks.
The last holdout from
as
the
20th
century.
Yes, right. You were talking about reality. As an aside here, I thought it was interesting. I wanted to get to the football stuff certainly here as we can, but the reality trench that you were digging and reality shows and that sort of thing. I thought this week something that was, this is sort of a countdown extra, Jeopardy champion Amy Schneider.
Oh, that's actually very close to the top 10 topics.
It's
somewhere nearby that. That's a big story.
Yeah. $1.4 million, 40 consecutive wins. She came pretty close to Ken Jennings' record, I think, didn't she?
No, Jennings went 79 games.
Did he?
She won 39, played 40. She surpassed recent player Matt Amodio, who had, I don't know, I don't remember, 30-something wins. But he won $1.5 million.
Yeah.
So there's two records that they have. One, how many consecutive games you win, or how much money you win. And, you know, it's rarefied air. There's several people who've made a lot of money.
Well,
on
was
that.
The story that some people made out of it is the fact she's a trans woman.
Mm-hmm.
And but I think for me, I saw it as a visible symbol of achievement for these people that some marginalize. And, then it doesn't make any difference, frankly. So the answer that stumped Snyder, did you see that, was about countries of the world.
No,
the only nation whose name in English ends with an H and which also has one of the 10 most populous cities. So where's
Utah.
The Jeopardy music? What is it?
Utah.
No, the country, Turkey.
Oh, Utah's not a country? Okay.
What is Bangladesh? Nobody knew what Bangladesh was before John Lennon sang that song, right? George Harrison, excuse me. Right, exactly.
Bangladesh.
Thank you. Yeah. Right.
Bangladesh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
That's all
I know. Anyway, there it is. That's it. We've got it. We took care of that. Now let's talk about football and what's happening. Aaron Rodgers going to another team, the playoffs, the Cowboys are making a decision on a head coach, all kinds of things going on this week. What of all the things in football, what frustrates you the most this week, Michael?
What frustrates me the most?
Yeah.
Nothing.
He's not playing for the Patriots.
I would have liked to have seen the Patriots in there, but the Patriots are going to have a tough time getting back into the thick of things. There are some really good young players, and they're not on the Patriots. There's some good players on the Patriots, but you've got a very interesting quarterback, Joe Burrow. I think his name. I'm blanking on it.
He's I'm not really the right guy to help you on this. Sorry.
The Bengals are a real big underdog, and they're playing the Chiefs, who are the big bad dudes of the American Football Conference, and that's going to be very interesting. The point I'm making is that there's a lot of young blood that really is exciting. The Buffalo Bills are an extraordinarily good team. They have a great quarterback, Josh Allen, who he's gonna have a magnificent career. So I'm not frustrated with any of it. I think it's I'm not a big fan of sports betting, which is changing the culture of sports. It's a whole other topic. Not
sure
thrilled with that. Not that I'm a moralist and I'm against gambling. I'm against anything that has such big money attached to it remaining pure.
Well, exactly. It's not going to be pure. It isn't. It can't, under the circumstances, remain pure. And that's right. That's kind of sad, actually. 28 after the hour. This is the Talk Radio Countdown Show. Now, 34 after the hour, as we continue with this week's Talk Radio Countdown Show, Michael has given you the official list of stories, the top 10 story list and people. Michael Harrison is the editor and publisher of Talkers Magazine. I'm Doug Steffen, happy to be able to shepherd these discussions as we do from time to time, week to week, year to year, decade to decade, on and on it goes. You know, somebody just sent me an email. Has nothing to do, but it kind of does have. It has everything to do with what's going on in our country right now. I don't know why I'm on this list. Somebody who, you know, there's stuff we're getting things in the email now that we didn't ask for and unsolicited. So this is somebody who wants me.
We're getting stuff in the email we didn't ask for. That's funny. We do, don't we?
Yeah, all kinds of crap. So this is a suggestion for me to change whatever it is that I'm doing in my life and work from home. And the following positions are available: from $16 to $45 an hour as a translator, $125,000 a year as an investigator, $30 an hour as an Amazon delivery person. I think.
How do you do that
way,
from home?
What? Yeah. Well,
how can you be an Amazon delivery person or an investigator from home? I can see being a translator, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But when go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I just am looking at these things, and I'm thinking, you know, that one of the stories that we've been pursuing here for quite a long time has been, as the impact of COVID continues to be felt, as people who have retired, jobs that are open that aren't being filled. I just paid a lot of money to have a couple of tractors delivered to the farm because they can't find people to go drive trucks to bring to haul products back and forth. And then I look at this, the Amazon thing, and what a scourge Amazon is. I have no use for Amazon whatsoever, and I've made that clear over the years, and I have less use for them now because of the way they have hired these drivers in these vans that are everywhere, and they park the damn vans in the middle of the road. They don't seem to, I'm Amazon, I can park where I want to, and they screw up traffic. Did you know that this past year Amazon bought 80,000 vehicles to move this stuff around? You don't think they're and built about 100 and I think I saw 104 warehouses are under construction around the country for Amazon? What does that do to the country, the psyche of the country, people who have had jobs in retail? I just think it's appalling.
It's a tremendous boom for the cardboard box industry.
Yeah, that's another thing. We talk about cartons, how much we're supposed to, you know, people say, well, I'm not going to go to the mall, so I won't spend that money on fuel. Well, but how do you think this stuff gets to you? That's such a foolish argument.
Yeah, but I mean, how do you see these trucks any different in terms of their conduct, in terms of traffic and street and parking and stuff like that, with the old brown, you know, UPS trucks that have been around since we're kids?
They don't park in the middle of the road. Yeah, no, UPS, FedEx, they don't park in the middle of the road. They know how to drive. I've never felt like I was overcome, if you will, in terms of traffic. By anybody but Amazon. I think they just don't, the kids.
But don't you on a certain level find the service that Amazon provides to actually be very convenient?
No, not for me. I don't like it. Uh-huh. I want to go to the store. I want to try it on. I want to see if the pots and pans are what I really want. Instead of them shipping it to me, I don't like it. I put it in a box and I send it back. I mean, look at what that takes. You talk about cardboard boxes. And the creation of refuse.
Okay, so look me in the eye. Look me in the eye. You just gave away a little hint there. You said you buy it, you don't like it, you send it back. Do you use Amazon?
No. I'm just saying that's what people say who are around. My children use it. I have plenty of friends who use it, and they hear the same thing from me. And they laugh at me.
Yeah, well, so. I have mixed feelings about it. On one level, I completely agree with you. Mm-hmm. That it's changed, that these trucks are everywhere, and that people are having problems with porch piracy. Apartment buildings, condos are having problems with the mailroom. Where do you put the boxes that pile up in the lobby? It's changed the whole nature of so many of our processes. But on the other hand, this is progress. Mm-hmm. This is the coming way things are going to be done, and it's just going through growing pains. We're not going to go back to brick and mortar stores and main streets and shopping malls being the way they used to be. I still believe there will be stores, but it's a whole different game now.
Yeah, Amazon's opening its own stores.
They have to. Isn't that funny? Everything goes around full circle.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Not my cup of tea. Too much focus, too much concentration of not wealth, but power, control,
that's another
choices
story.
Are.
I sure agree with that. Too much concentration of wealth and power.
You know, that's one of the things Biden is doing that I think is a great story in and of itself. And I talk about this all the time on my American Family Farmer show, which you were the inspiration for. Idea that Biden wants to break up the four large conglomerates that control 80% of agriculture, the five that control most of the grocery stores, that sort of thing. But, you know, you look around and almost every industry, every business is controlled now by a few companies. And it's dangerous. It's bad, not healthy, not good for consumerism, not good for our democracy, not good for capitalism. So I take my hat off to Biden on that one. I hope he has some success in breaking up these. Remember when we were kids, how AT&T got broken up because the government said it was too big and they became the Baby Bells. And now, look, AT&T is back up being as big as it was when they broke it up the last time.
It's a big baby. Things grow back. And we're dealing with that with Google. We're dealing with that with YouTube. Yeah. We're dealing with that with Amazon. The 21st century internet-based businesses, primarily what we call now big tech, are a problem for our economy, for our freedom of speech, for our public discourse, for people building businesses online. There are the same issues that good old Teddy Roosevelt faced when he was a big trust buster. And the monopolies were a problem in the early days of the 20th century. We're seeing that again in the 21st century in the big tech digital era.
There's no question that we are living in changing times. All right, let's talk about the Breyer. How much time we got? A few minutes here. Justice Breyer announcing his retirement and the inevitable who's going to replace him, that game, the guessing game. Kamala Harris seems to be on top of the list this week, depending on who you talk to. But I looked at a breakdown, Michael, by ethnicity of federal judges that have been appointed by recent presidents. And as usual, we get into this black, white, Latina, Asian, you know, all of the stuff that, you know, are they Jewish? Are they Protestants? Are they old? Are they young? All that stuff. And is there going to be diversity in the court? You look at, let's see, Trump appointed mostly white judges. Let's see, Obama appointed a number of, but more were appointed by Trump. And then Biden, not so many. Black judges, lots of them appointed by Obama, not too many by Trump. I mean, this is all so predictable, but yet it becomes part of the discourse. What should we do? Biden says we got to have a black woman.
As he promised it on the campaign trail, so now he's got to come through with it.
Right. So isn't Kamala Harris a black woman? Gets rid of her and her problems, and she can't do much damage.
That's the way. Hey, let's get rid of Harris. Sick her on the court.
Yeah. See you later.
Somebody like that may have said that, but I don't think it's going to be her. But I don't know who it's going to be. But
how do they get rid of her though? They have to get rid of her.
So well, they get rid of her by not nominating her for anything when the election comes around.
Mm, yeah.
You know, all right. That's how they'll
number one, COVID. There are lots of people asking lots of people, when is this going to be over? Because COVID deaths this week surged again in certain parts of the country. There were 2,200 people a day dying on average. I don't believe that statistic because I think they fudged the numbers. But at any rate, a lot of people are dying of this. And some people still say, oh, it's Omicron. No, it's not. It's back to Delta. Omicron doesn't kill many people at all. But at any rate, I heard something this week from the doctor, Ken Kronhaus, who's on the Good Day Health program with me. He says that now his position, even though he's an ardent supporter of getting the shots, that you'll be better off if you've had COVID and at the other end of you'll have more protection from it than you will from the shots. Now that things are pretty much over, there you go.
Well, natural immunity. Natural immunity is always better than vaccine immunity in most cases. But there are so many aspects to this this pandemic that we don't understand and doctors don't understand that it's crazy to jump to any conclusions. One has to really, keep an open mind and open ear and try to separate the misinformation from legitimate debate over options that are realistic.
Yeah, you're right about that. Yep. All right, we're going to get to the bottom of Michael and his interview, what's going on other than the countdown itself, at talkers.com right after this. All right, so Michael, I always like to know, and the audience wants to know too, what the MH interview, Michael Harrison interview is this week at talkers.com.
It's a really good one. A fellow by the name of Josh Hammer, 32-year-old conservative constitutional lawyer for the last 2 years, has been the op-ed section of Newsweek's editor. And he's getting into podcasting and stuff like that. He has a tremendously intelligent, fresh, and fascinating insight into the future of conservative politics in America. And he's a conservative. He's a real arch-conservative. But he's at odds with a lot of the older conservatives, the conservative establishment, and he says Trump did his role as a wrecking ball when it was needed, and now he has to go.
That's it. Okay, let's see what kind of popularity he finds.
MHinterview.com.
Yep. All right. So it's always provocative, always on top of things. You want to know about the future of Trumpism? Sounds like this is the interview to listen to. Josh Hammer. On with Michael Harrison, MHinterview.com. I also find it at talkers.com, too. Doug Steffen with Michael Harrison on our weekly overview of the hot hits in talk radio. Talk Radio Countdown Show.
Counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
53 after the hour on the Talk Radio Countdown Show, and is the case with normalcy. Stephen J.J. Wiseman is here, the lawyer who is our expert, gives us free advice. Now, usually when the lawyer gives you free advice, not worth it. Don't take it to the bank. However, in this circumstance, we have his overview of some of the stories. Justice Breyer, number three this week, So I want to hear from you. I actually thought about you. I was dying to hear your, that's not a good phrase to use. I'm eager to hear your take on the suggestions for who ought to replace him.
Well, you know, Justice Breyer actually was one of my favorite Supreme Court justices. You know, he has been classified as a progressive, but he's you can't really kind of peg him.
I think you can buttonhole most of them anymore, really. Can you?
Yeah, I mean,
look at Roberts, what people thought about him. You can do it for Clarence Thomas, maybe, and
yes,
Sotomayor,
no,
but other
maybe.
Than that. And maybe, yeah, Gorsuch, yeah, okay, yeah, I'm not.
Yeah, but one of the interesting things is that the president has indicated during the when he was campaigning that he was going to nominate an African American woman, and there are some
Kamala
really
Harris.
Well, do you remember? Clinton wanted to nominate her, but there was so much political pushback. And, you know, she said, well, someday I'll be vice president and no one will know what I'm doing. So, you know, that all worked out. But interestingly enough, this Washington Appeals Court judge who was just appointed, I think, by Biden initially, is being talked about as a replacement. And she was a clerk for Breyer. And this has happened a few times. Chief Justice Rehnquist had been a clerk. The best and the brightest law students and young law grads will go to the Supreme Court for only a couple of years, and they will clerk and do a lot of the research and a lot of the work, because one of the biggest things with the Supreme Court is they get thousands of cases are sent to them every year. And it's the clerks who are the ones that screen these, review these, and get these to the judges. So the judges may not even see some of the cases that come up, although the clerks certainly don't hide things from them. You know, my favorite story with the clerks is when Justice Earl Warren was the Chief Justice. He was a strong Chief Justice, but he was not a legal scholar. And he would decide, he would say, okay, here's where I want this case to end up. And he would turn to the clerks, go find the case law to make it work.
Right. Like any good lawyer who works for his money. Okay, tell me what you want the result to be, and I'll figure out how to get there.
Yeah.
That's it. Perfect.
Sure. Sort of like a prostitute. What do you want me to
be? A little bit. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. What do you want for your money? The Florida Surgeon General's testimony. Mr. Is it Ladapo? Is that how you pronounce his name?
You know, not even sure.
Yeah. Anyway, what the read on that and what's going on in Florida in general. I don't know. Florida seems to be, in many respects, an island unto itself.
Yes, well, they say no man is an island, but some may be an isthmus. And I don't know. Florida is, it's really odd. You know, this is the kind of thing where we do have scientific evidence, you know, in regard to how we should be dealing with COVID. You know, one of the things that I found kind of distressing was Sarah Palin. Sarah Palin's got a big case, a libel case against the New York Times that had to be postponed because
she tested
positive for COVID. And then there are pictures of her out at public restaurants just yesterday.
Public drubbing of her, I think, is a little worn out at this point, though.
I think she keeps bringing it on herself.
Well, they all step in it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's for darn sure. But, you know, the battles between Florida and national health authorities like the CDC and the FDA, it's very troubling. And, you know, the politicizing of the whole COVID pandemic has made it far worse. I don't think we would have even gotten to an Omicron variant had more people been vaccinated, and it wouldn't have had the time to mutate.
Yeah. Well, now, that could have been. Now, what the doctors are saying that are associated with my programs, that that you're better off to have had the disease. You're going to have more protection from having had it than you get from the shots. So, you know, but hopefully we keep our fingers crossed that it's pretty much kaputsky. Stephen J.J. Wiseman, professor of law at Bentley University, here on the Talk Radio Countdown Show.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
The Talk Radio Countdown Show is a production of Stefan Multimedia, produced by Bob K. Sound and Recording.